You're listening to Coffee with Innovate Finance, where we speak with experts from the industry on the changing face of financial services and the future of fintech and financial innovation. I am Rashi Pandey, Associate Director of Membership and Growth, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Niyathi Joshi, who's the Head of Product at B4B Payments. So B4B Payments is a provider of card issuing and embedded payment services, providing forward-thinking payment processing solutions, which enable any organization to manage expenses, simplify payroll and reimbursements, and offer employee rewards and incentives. So thank you so much for joining me today, Niyathi.
Thanks, Rashi. Great to be here.
So can you tell us more about, you know, B4B Payments and the original idea behind it?
Sure, absolutely. So B4B was founded in 2006 by the two co-founders, Paul Swinton and Rob Anderson, as they saw an opportunity in the market due to regulatory changes on how cash can be handled for the scrap industry. And they really saw an opportunity where prepaid card programs can add value, where instead of handing over cash, you can actually put money onto a card and that can be reused or even branded. And then since then, the company's really evolved to support global corporates and their finance teams to help them manage expenses, incentive programs for consumers, as well as payout propositions such as refund and payroll and so much more. But over the last few years, I think our strategic focus has really evolved into expanding globally, particularly the US market, and launching our embedded payments proposition.
That's pretty exciting, actually, because we are working closely with the US market as well right now. So Niyathi, can you tell us about your journey so far, you know, as the head of product at B4B? How's it been?
Sure. I mean, it's been absolutely amazing. I think I joined at a really sort of pivotal and fortuitous time where we're really gearing up for our next phase of growth. So being able to come in and really think through what the strategy looks like for the company for the next five to 10 years, especially as we start towards, you know, what does banking as a service mean for B4B as a key growth area. But also being able to come in and set up my team and start to get the business thinking more about being customer first and putting a really product-led lens on how we develop key value proposition is super exciting. And, you know, coming in and setting up a team and helping the business scale has been a really exciting challenge for me. So, yeah, I've had a great time.
That sounds pretty exciting, actually. So, you know, moving on to your customers and who you guys are, what you guys are doing. So who are your customers and what is your unique proposition and what makes you different from your competitors?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. So, I mean, our customers tend to, we're very a B2B company. So we sell from business to businesses and really our sectors that we go after can be anywhere from travel to education, to charity, to even other finance services. But really where we started to see a lot more growth is going through via the partner channel now, where we really want to help our partners grow and scale and add to their value offering as they also get out there to market. And what we feel like our unique value add in here is to really leverage our industry knowledge and expertise. You know, we are an EMI regulated entity. We understand the obligations and the rigor that businesses need to have in place in terms of the governance and the oversight and the infrastructure. So what we want to do is to, you know, take all of our knowledge and everything that we have and offer it out as a service in addition to like other embedded finance propositions. And that really means that our customers can grow and scale without incurring any additional overheads as well. So that drives value for both parties. And it creates a really nice symbiotic relationship.
So you did mention partnerships, and of course, mm-hmm. not talk about, you know, ecosystem partnerships. So yeah. How has your journey been in ensuring that partnerships are successful? And, you know, what practical advice would you give to fintech leaders, in, you know, who are trying to make these partnerships work?
Sure. I think It's partnerships are an incredibly key part of our distribution strategy. And one of the key things we did early on was to differentiate between the different types of partners, almost like segmentation, you know, based on the type of partner they are, the kind of clients they would bring on, their use cases, and how involved the client wanted to be in the ongoing client management, you know, ranging from partners who are happy to co-brand with us, for instance, versus those that just wanted us to be in the background as deeply as possible. So really what we like to do is just create a framework where we understood how to onboard and support them and the businesses that we're going to bring on underneath. And, you know, it's important to do that with a viewpoint about how the business wants to be successful with their own business model and road to profitability, but also leaving it open to co-collaborate with a partner, right? Because they've done the hard work of acquiring those customers and building a brand. So it's about being able to offer that flexibility on a range to say, well, this is really what it makes sense. And I think, you know, one of the great things that we can do is leverage also from our parent company, Banking Circle, who also grow through the partnerships channel. We've really got a lot of that shared knowledge within the group that helps us. And one of the things that we've understood, especially, is, you know, what enabling services do we need to have in place? How do we scale? How do you also take a step back, but also understand the risk on our business model and our growth trajectory? And really, what if I was to like summarize it, what you would need to be clear on is the why. Why are you going after partnerships? What do they help you achieve? Which ones are right for you? And sometimes being able to say no to partners that don't fit, either from like a risk perspective or what makes sense for you or the kind of customers you want to go after.
Being very transparent, I can see the key. So, you know, you spoke about, you know, your US expansion and stuff as well. So how do partnerships experiences, you know, differ between North America and Europe?
That's a really, really good question. I think, so one of the things that we found is even after Brexit, partnerships started to differ, you know, there's a difference between how UK and Europe work, for instance, as well, right? You had a lot of companies that had to set up in Europe. But what we found, the difference between North America and Europe specifically, is that the regulatory environment is very, very different. And their economic environment is also very, very different. So the key thing is, you know, what is the problem we're trying to solve for customers in those markets? You know, is it the same problem that we're solving for our European client base, or is it very, very different? I think one of the things that we've learned is, when you scale a fintech, you've got to understand which components can be centralized, maybe tech, maybe operations. But where do you need that local differentiation? And that's really the difference between North America and Europe, especially, is like regulatory is one aspect. But, you know, what are the pain points for their customers, and how are you going to scale in those markets as well? So I think North America is very, very different just because of how it digests innovation, its regulatory market, its even business models as well, which is from a slightly very Eurocentric view of the world.
Fair enough. I think we see some of those differences ourselves as well. And moving on to banking as a service, how do you think banking as a service has evolved in the last 10 years? And I especially ask that because I've been within that space for the last 10 years as well. Wow. So how have your customer needs evolved?
It's a really good question. And I'm glad that we asked about our customer needs specifically, right? I think everyone will have a different answer to this. I think what we've noticed is the key driver for us is we have to go where the user is. You know, previously, if you look at early 10 years ago, it was very much about standalone services. Then you were taken to a third party when you clicked on checkout or pay for something, a new window would open. But now everything is in one place. You know, more complex financial transactions are happening exactly where the customer is, and they have everything they need that they would get from the financial service provider in their own, you know, view, but actually everything's happening on the core platform. And really, what I think that's where banking as a service has really evolved into is meeting the customers where they are and not compromising on that seamless customer experience that the partners or the platforms have created, especially with brand or all that they invest in optimizing that customer journey. So I think we're seeing, you know, embedded payments first came in, then embedded financial services, including FX, for instance. Now you've got underwriting with buy now, pay later. And then you've got players like us really going to, you know, banking as a service, where a lot more can happen on a partner's platform, irrespective of whether they're regulated or non. I think that's key, is that everyone always thinks, oh, it can only be like regulated fintechs that can go after BaaS. Actually, it's not true. Banking as a service means that if you have the right license, which is what we do, we can turn an unregulated tech platform offering regulated services, which is amazing because you don't have to go get the license or the overhead, for instance. And that's really where a lot of the evolution is taking place.
And are there any interesting new trends you're seeing in the space?
I think a lot of that, one, is to do with all that VC capital that's been flowing around, as well as a lot of the change in regulation. So I think in terms of the new trends we're seeing, we think that, you know, so BaaS for us is a lot powered by a lot of tech platforms wanting to embed financial services because they want to, not everybody wants to become a fintech, but they certainly want to work with one. That's what we're seeing. And the second is the rise of all these new fintechs that have just got seed or Series A capital. They want to, you know, get out there, accelerate their launch to market, but they don't want to have all the overheads in place. So we're seeing the rise of fintechs that want to collaborate, partner with suppliers, and not have to build everything in-house because they're too busy trying to gain traction in the market. So those are sort of some of the trends that we're seeing.
And are there any exciting banking as a service initiatives that you guys are working on at the moment? And if there are, you know, perhaps some case studies you can share with us as well, that would be great.
Sure, absolutely. I'm gonna answer your question the other way around because you can see why we're working on it. So one of our more prolific clients is called Juni or Uni, and they're really sort of a marketplace to help SMEs get access to card and bank accounts and really help them manage their accounting and you know their world. And when they first started working with us, they weren't fully licensed. Now they are. But what they really wanted to do was accelerate their growth to market by offering their SMEs, you know, a card associated with a bank account, the ability to make outbound payments and grow in states as well. They wanted to offer multiple currencies because they appreciate SMEs are sort of scattered all across the world. And they started to work with us because they wanted to offer effectively regulated services, but they weren't fully regulated yet. But they were waiting to get there, but they didn't want to wait. And we saw this trend coming up a lot, which is really interesting for us. And that's when we started to, you know, the first one of our banking as a service initiatives is to really think about almost compliance as a service, which is, you know, how do we lessen the regulatory overheads and all the burdens that a company like a Juni that wants to scale and grow and has all of that capital that wants to get out there without having first line support, second line support, transaction monitoring, ODD, and all of that sort of good stuff. We know we need it because we're an EMI regulated entity, but how could we sit there and think, how can I actually get this out to market so other people don't have to go back and rebuild it and actually create stickiness within the ecosystem? So that's really, really something exciting for us. And it gives us a very niche angle in the BaaS space.
And, you know, we spoke so much about, you know, B4B, about your role there, as well as banking as a service. How about yourself? If you had, you know, to share a piece of advice to a peer in the industry who's heading product as well, what would it be?
I think first, hire a kick-ass team and empower them. I think that's the key thing. You're as good as your people or as your team is. So I look for you know, people that will want to come in and take ownership. There are self-starters that want to grow and, you know, get as much out of company as you do. And I think the key thing is if you're heading in product, you really want to promote a customer first culture within the company. You know, it's not like a specific department culture or a specific product culture. You want a customer first mindset because that really translates across every area. And your role really is to set the strategy and direction. So be really clear on like the company's value prop, as well as what product does within that company to help align stakeholders to say, you're not blocking. There's a reason why it's not on the roadmap. You're here because you're driving the wider business objectives. And from everything I've learned from other people that have done it previously, this is the only way that you get from sales-led growth to product-led growth in a more scalable way.
That's very, very interesting. And I love the fact that you said empower your team and hire kick-ass people.
You gotta hire great people. Yeah.
That's amazing. So Nidhi, it was such a pleasure speaking with you. But before I let you go, can you tell us what's next for B4B Payments? Where in the global map do you see yourself moving to next?
So I think one really, really exciting area, very, very in the near term is the States for us right now. So, you know, working in collaboration with our parent company, the Banking Circle, is also very much focused on the States and everything that's happening there. We've got sort of a very established card presence within America, but what we're now going after is embedded payments proposition there too, which is super exciting coming off, you know, everything we've heard about FedNow and RTP and moving that space out from, you know, prepaid card and maybe, you know, thinking about what account to account looks like, but also building out our banking and service proposition and helping and growing our partners without compromising on that user experience. So I think in terms of the global map, the States is very much on the horizon, as well as other few countries as well.
Perfect. Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Nidhi.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me.
More power to you and to your team at B4B Payments. And to our listeners, thank you once again for tuning into Coffee with Innovate Finance. Do look out for upcoming episodes and follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for more on our events and programs. As always, until next time, take very good care of yourselves.
episodes, and as mentioned, all our previous episodes are available on our website. So please do take a look at our catalog for many more insights on fintech and financial innovation. Thank you everyone for joining us, and we'll see you next time at our Coffee with Innovate Finance. Bye for now.